Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
This is Catholic Answers Live, and I am your host, Cy Kellett. If you have trouble trusting in God and overcoming worry, we have two just great hours for you today. Often on Wednesdays, we try to tackle more pastoral issues, issues of the soul, the heart, the family, and I think we have just two wonderful guests for you today on those more pastoral sides of our Catholic faith. If you have trouble surrendering in trust to God, maybe you have fear of friendship with God or are unsure if he's worthy of your trust, maybe give us a call, 888-318-7884. That's 888-318-7884. Our guest this hour is Father Bjorn Lundberg. He's a priest of the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia, and a chaplain at St. St. John Paul the Great Catholic High School. After graduating from Christendom College, he interned for a couple of years at EWTN, and now he appears regularly on EWTN's Morning Glory. Father Lundberg holds a Master's of Divinity and an MA in Moral Theology from St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in Philadelphia. Father Lundberg, thank you so much for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
It's great to be with you.
Well, I'm assuming you just grew up trusting in God then, right? It's never been a problem for you.
Not at all. I have never had an easy time trusting God. But at the same time, too, the whole call to the priesthood and my vocation and learning to trust him all along the way has been a huge thing for me and teaching me through all those hardships to trust him.
So when you enter seminary, for example, I assume that's an act of trust in itself. But is there a way in which you have to kind of learn to entrust yourself to God as a priest?
I think it's kind of like Francis de Sales says, that you learn to walk by walking and talk by talking, and you learn to trust God by trusting. And so going to the seminary, yeah, you've discerned to a certain point, but then there's kind of – my hope was I'd go to seminary for a year, and then I would leave, and I could move on with my life and say, I gave you a year. But then you realize that's not God's plan.
And so in a practical way, who helped you to learn to walk in trust with the Lord?
Well, a couple of things happened. Looking back on my vocation, I became aware of it probably in hindsight in about fifth grade. But then I fought it all my life and through high school. And then in college, I mean, it was like anything but that. Don't ask me about that. And the vocation director would come around and I would like flee to the library. I didn't want to be around. And so I was working at EWTN for 2 years. I was a producer. And I wanted to get married and have a family, and I thought, I'm not going to make much money working in a Catholic apostolate. And so I thought, I need to go back and do something to get a graduate degree, so I was going to go to law school. So I came back to Virginia, and God worked during that time while I was preparing for law school and applying to say, why don't you give seminary a shot? And so when I went in there, it was like step by step, God worked through my spiritual director and through the formation process to help me to learn to surrender, and that's been going since then.
Okay, so then that ultimately leads to your ordination. You had to trust God. That's a big leap of trust.
Yes. A couple things that were significant. One of our spiritual directors in the seminary really promoted true devotion to Mary with consecration through St. Louis de Montfort. And so I did that, and that was in the Jubilee year in 2000 when I entered. And then couple things really struck me along the way. One was I gave a talk at a parish about my vocation when I was back in the diocese. And a man came up to me after my talk, and he was clearly very successful. He had looked like a Brooks Brothers suit and slick back hair. Could have been a lobbyist. I don't know. But he had tears in his eyes, and I thought maybe I had offended him. And he said that when he was in high school, he applied to the seminary and he got accepted, but he never went. And he said there hadn't been a day in his life where he hadn't thought that maybe he had been called to the priesthood. So he said, I'm not, you know, not trying to guilt me, but he said, if God is calling you to the priesthood, say yes. And so that moment really had an impact on me.
Yeah.
And then I got to the realization right before diaconate that this was my choice. God was pointing me to this. He was inviting me to this, but I was free to say yes or no. He was asking me to say yes, but it was a free choice. I wanted it to be like automatic, like a slam dunk, like I would have no other desire than just being a priest, but he was showing me that I could choose, and I had to make that decision.
So I imagine you work with young people a lot now, but when whether it's young people or maybe young married people or older folks, and they say, Father, I can't put my trust in God, or I have so much trouble. How do you address that?
Well, on one level, I say, welcome to the club. I think it's always hard to trust God. Jeff Cavins with The Great Adventure Bible Timeline talks about that basically the history of salvation in Scripture is God saying, you know, will you trust me? I think because of the world in which we live and the way family is affected and the way our culture is, God knows that it's harder than ever for us to trust him. And so he sent people into our times that help us. So St. Therese was a big help for me. She was really a teacher of how to trust God. St. Louis de Montfort, the patron of our high school, John Paul the Great, was all about surrendering to God. And then finally in my life, St. Jose Maria also too, how to find God in normal life today. So yeah, working with young people, people in college, married people, marriage prep, people going through a crisis. Yeah, it's all about trust.
Father Bjorn Lundberg is our guest this hour. Trustful surrender to God is our topic. Do you have trouble in that area, or maybe you have a story that you want to share? 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH. Father, how about books? What do you maybe there was a book or an author or someone who grabbed you.
Yes, one author and another book. The author, Jacques Philippe, who is a French priest, and his books are published mainly by Scepter Press, but he has a book, Interior Freedom, and then he has a book on trustful surrender based on St. Therese's spirituality, but he has about 7 books, and they're all different variants of this message. His books are very helpful. Then there is a new book that came out last year called In Sinu Jesu, which is meditations from a Benedictine monk, an anonymous Benedictine monk who, while spending time in adoration at a monastery, God began to teach him about surrender and trust. And both of those books were really helpful for me. And then you try to apply that to people's lives when they come to talk to you or they want help.
And does it, I mean, when you think about these priests and you're yourself a priest, does it apply? I mean, I guess probably, I don't know if this is the case, but I imagine, say, for example, couples with children and whatnot, maybe the main worry is financial worries. I don't have a statistic to back that up, but I'm just assuming. So
yeah.
How do you, oh, someone says, Father, I can't make the ends meet. I'm struggling. How do I trust God with this?
Right. And in all of our vocations, there is some kind of struggle about that. And what I think the 2 things that are good guides for us are, one is God is asking us to do things that are reasonable. You know, he's not saying give all away your money to some ministry and then he's going to provide. I mean, you might hear that from some people. But God is saying take practical steps to plan your life, but then also surrender yourself to God through, especially I would say today, devotion to Mary. We just had the 100th anniversary of the apparitions at Fatima and Pope Francis was there. Our Lady teaches us how to trust God. Surrender is the hardest thing for us to do. And whatever our path in life, it's going to be difficult. So, you know, if you're going to sit down with somebody in a situation, whether it's financial or their marriage or their discernment or whatever personal thing they're dealing with, you want to help them see what's the next practical step you can take. But then also bring in Our Lady, spend time in prayer, spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and then find saints who can kind of help you relate.
Do you have trouble trusting in God? Would you like to take the next step? Maybe you don't have trouble trusting God, but you need to some direction or help in what the next step is in trusting God in your pilgrimage to the house of the Father. Father Bjorn Lundberg is our guest this hour. Our number, 888-318-7884. Father, we have to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and take some calls. Is that all right with you?
That's great.
Catholic Answers Live. Trustful surrender to God is our topic. Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Bishop James Conley of the Diocese of Lincoln. Keep it right here on Catholic Answers Live.
The Jewish Sabbath or the Christian Sunday? What exactly is the Lord's Day? This is Tim Staples, and I'll give you the facts you need to know in the next issue of Catholic Answers Magazine. Want to be sure to get your copy? Subscribe right now to the best Catholic apologetics magazine anywhere by calling 888-291-8000 or going to Catholic.com. Jimmy Akin on evaluating claims in the Papal Rumor Net, Carlo Broussard on the likelihood of miracles, plus a very special look back at the history of the modern apologetics movement by our founder, Carl Keating. Just a few of the articles you can look forward to in our next issue. Don't wait another moment to subscribe. Call 888-291-8000 or go to the shop at Catholic.com right now to get subscriptions for yourself and those you love. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine. From Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 15, Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes so that it will bear more fruit. Remain in me, as I remain in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing." To remain in him is to be open to whatever he sends our way. It is, in fact, to be pruned so that we can bear more fruit. But it is not easy to be pruned. It is not easy to deny ourselves until we look at him on the cross. Responding to his love for us is the motivation that gives us the courage to die and the strength to live. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Trustful surrender to God is our topic this hour. 888-318-7884 is our number, and Father Bjorn Lundberg is our guest. Father, the calls have been flooding into us. I think we've hit a vein here, and I'm sure that's the case. I think this, as you said, this is one of the most essential things that we do as people of faith, is learn to trust God.
Right, and I think Our Lady probably will help people who need to hear it to dive in today and see how that applies in every walk of life.
Well, all right, you feel okay to go to calls? Because we got
a lot of them.
All right, let's go to Lacey in Texas, listening to EWTN on Sirius XM Satellite. Lacey, your question for Father Bjorn Lundberg.
Hello, Father. Thank you so much for taking my question today. I am not necessarily struggling with trusting God as a conscious decision, but what I struggle with is that I don't always feel like I'm trusting God. And so I get frustrated with myself. And I'm wondering what advice you might have for patients as I grow in this area spiritually, but also to help understand the difference between knowing that I do mentally trust God, but then also feeling, I want to feel like I trust God too, but I know that the feelings don't always come. What advice would you have for something like that, Father?
Right. It's a great question. A kid was just asking me that at school today, actually. And part of the challenge is like, you know, sometimes this, I'll go on a little tangent quickly. People say, "I don't feel consolations in prayer." And there's this kind of line, do we like the consolations of God or the God of consolations? Meaning that the feelings are great, and we certainly prefer to have good feelings. But a lot of times it seems like God is leading us on this trust walk where we don't feel anything. You know, we're doing the right thing. So the first thing is to discern, am I doing God's will? You know, but depending on your state in life or your vocation, we look first to say, what are my duties? For example, you know, a person can be married and have all these demands on them, and they say, oh, I would love to spend all kinds of time in front of the Blessed Sacrament at church, you know, or same thing as a parish priest or whatever. If you're a college student, you're busy, but I want to pray. Well, right, it's good to pray and spend time with the Lord, but maybe God is calling me to study or to work or to help my family. So the first thing is just kind of broadly speaking to find out what is the path that I know God wants me to do. The next thing would then be to find in your particular area of life, what are some steps spiritually so that you kind of have, you know, benchmarks throughout the day to stay connected with God? Somebody made the analogy that in the morning you offer your day to God, and at the end of the day you do an examination of conscience. But throughout the day you want to have kind of like a pole where that cable will connect, like a telephone pole. So like maybe doing the Angelus or some interior prayer or the rosary or scripture reading. Because that cable that goes between the phone lines along the highway, that's kind of symbolic of God's presence. We want to be aware of his presence throughout the day. A friend of mine carries a ball in his pocket, a little bouncy ball, and he sticks his hand in there to remind himself that God has him, that he's in God's hands. So as far as feeling bad about not feeling trusting, as long as we're stepping out in faith, going in the right direction, discerning that we're on the path God wants us to be, that is good. Because ultimately what we're doing is we're putting down roots. Like the tree analogy would be, if there's a tree and a drought comes and the waters fade, the tree is going to push the roots deeper into the rocky, hard ground. And that's very difficult. But then when the drought passes, the root structure is better. So when God leads you forward to trust him, most of the time we don't feel like trusting him. Like Mother would say, faith was like having, Mother Angelica said, faith was like having one foot on the ground, one foot in the air, and a funny feeling in your stomach. So as long as we're choosing to do the right thing and we're trying to nourish our spiritual relationship with God, and then we're living according to our state in life, then we just, you know, move forward and trust that God has us. And on top of that, then I would add in, especially having devotion to Our Lady or to a saint that you particularly love or speaks to you will help you. Because for me, if I read St. Therese or if I read, you know, St. Louis de Montfort, John Paul, Jose Maria, there's something there that will usually give me, that will nourish my spirit. So I hope that that helps.
Thank you so much, Lacey, for that call. We go next to Ray in Lexington, Kentucky. Ray, you are on with Father Bjorn Lundberg. What's your question?
Hi, Father. I had a question as far as, you know, people that have had bad experiences with the church, you know,
right,
having the ability to surrender themselves and be vulnerable after having been hurt in the past.
Yes.
What would you say there?
This is a huge problem, and it's a great question, because whether it's a bad experience with the church or our experiences in life, whether it's in relationships within our family or things that have happened to us or crisis that we've gone through, these wounds affect how we look at God. And so, you know, like there's this term, like we can be anthropomorphic. We can project on God our experience of life. So especially when someone's been wounded in an area of trust by an authority figure or anyone in the church or in life, this can then set up problems for trusting God. So a couple things I would recommend. One is to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. If the person believes in the real presence, that's a starting point. If they don't, you know, you kind of just want to work them into whether it's scripture reading or devotions or healthy discipleship with other people, that would be a starting point, who they trust. But if you can, you and I or anyone can spend time with the Lord, even if we do nothing but just sit in his presence, it's healing. Because Sister Breege McKenna makes the point that if someone goes to the beach and they're in the sun, you can tell. They've got a sunburn or a tan or they're freckled or whatever. And the same thing, when we spend time with our Lord in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's like, you know, nuclear or spiritual chemotherapy or radiation treatment. A book I would also recommend is called Unbound by Neil Lozano. He's a Catholic deacon who's been involved with the Charismatic Renewal. And he has these five keys or five steps that a person can take to experience greater freedom. He starts up, or there's an analogy you can use, that if someone gets up on a Saturday morning to go into their kitchen for coffee and it's wintertime and they've run the heat all night, but when they get to the kitchen, it's freezing cold. They say, why is it cold in here? We had the heat on. Well, they realize someone left the window open or the door open. So they close it and the room warms up. Well, in life, when we've gone through trauma or crisis or abuse, there can be sort of spiritual doors that are open. It's great to go to counseling. It's of course, essential to go to confession when we need it. But even with those things, there can sort of be a dark cloud that follows us around. And this would be some kind of form of spiritual attack. So the book Unbound is a very practical way to grow in a relationship with our Heavenly Father and have greater healing too.
Ray, how does that strike you?
That is awesome. Thank you so much, Father.
You're welcome. Time. Great.
Thank you very much, Ray. It does seem to me, Father, we have in many ways traumatized. Oh, I suppose the world in some ways, just the modern world, is traumatizing to people. We have in addition to broken families all over the place, we have families who are struggling a great deal, and in many cases, just the way the world is constructed economically, people are just struggling just to, you know, so we're growing up with these traumas, and these really are obstacles to trusting in God or to knowing, having a sense that he's there.
Right. Our family experience, our childhood experience, high school and college, work, relationships, all these things. In a healthy culture, we have healthy boundaries, but our culture, for a lot of complicated reasons, is unraveling. And so the reality is, you know, whether you're raising kids or you're just trying to find your way in life, you can really say, wow, I'm wounded, or not even know you're wounded. Mm-hmm. And so then when you say, well, I got to pray, you're like, well, I don't trust anybody in my life. Why am I going to trust God? You know, and this is where I think the time that we live in, especially, I just go back to St. Therese a lot. She's like, the saints are like special forces, you know, God's advance team that he's going to take back Normandy, you know, at Normandy to D-Day, you know, the beachhead. These are the saints because he prepares them in advance. You know, Therese had this wonderful life where she grew up in a very good family and she loved God. But then those last 18 months of her life, she was dying from tuberculosis and consumption. And she said that she felt that whole time, those 18 months, like the devil was whispering in her ear, that he was telling her she was a fool for being a religious. God didn't exist. There was no heaven. There was just darkness after death. And then right before she died, this lifted. And she said her mission would be to come down from heaven to earth and work until the end of time, convincing people of the goodness of God. And then on the battlefields of World War I, guys are reporting seeing this Carmelite nun. Everything about her became such a relic that they ripped up the floorboards of her cell to make into relics. And so you're absolutely right. We are wounded. And God really, I think this is his era of mercy because God knows that I don't want to sound trite, that we're kind of a hot mess or we're growing up in a tough society. And so absolutely, we come to this wounded. But the good news is where sin abounds, grace abounds the more. This really actually should give us a greater love for the passion of Jesus, because when Jesus was suffering in the agony, in the garden, carrying the cross in Calvary, he entered our suffering. You know, there is no suffering that we can find ourselves in, no dark place where he is not. And that can give us a lot of confidence.
And Father, we have a call now from Asuncion, Paraguay, South America. So let's get to Renato, listening on the EWTN app. Renato, you are on with Father Lundberg. What's your question?
Hello, good evening. Hi, Sai. Hi, Father. I wanted to ask you regarding, because I have 8 children, and some of them are already beginning to look into the things of God and learning about the things of our faith. And I sometimes have a hard time recommending books, because I myself throughout the years have gone through more traditional writings like St. Alphonse, who are more like, mm-hmm. say, to quote, strict, and then some more contemporary writings like, I don't get the names now, but they're more like in a contemporary style. But they seem to, I sometimes have a hard time recommending books for younger, my children especially, regarding their growth in the faith getting to know Jesus Christ.
Well, Father, what works with the young people who you work with as far as books?
A couple things. There's a book by Matthew Kelly called Resisting Happiness, which is one of his latest books. And that's very good because I think essentially either using an argument for happiness or for beauty are ways to speak to people today, because people often have a hard time following intellectual arguments about the faith, just for a lot of reasons, because of our education and our culture. So, but people do want to be happy, and God has hardwired us to be happy. St. Thomas Aquinas, in his section on law, Bishop Barron points this out, when he gets to this question about what the law is about, he spends 100 questions talking about the nature of beatitude or just happiness. So all the things we enjoy that make us happy are passing away, but God has hardwired us to be eternally happy, and that hunger is within us. So the book Resisting Happiness could be good for a young person. And then The Way of Trust and Love by Father Jacques Philippe, or the book Interior Freedom. They're both short, and they start off with really good stories. The Interior Freedom book starts off talking about Therese and then a woman who died in the concentration camps, who was Jewish, but who came to the camp kind of a secular person. And by the time she died, she had this deeper conversion into her faith. Viktor Frankl, in his book Man's Search for Meaning, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it to a teen, but he talks about that in the concentration camps where he survived, he saw people who walked into barbed wire fences that were electrocuted so that they could commit suicide because they had given up hope. He also saw people in the camps who went to their death in the gas chambers singing hymns to God. And he said the difference was a person who has a reason to live lives. You know, Bishop Sheen's famous show, Life is Worth Living. So Resisting Happiness, or The Gospel of Happiness, I forget his last name right now, that's a good book that's out now, or Interior Freedom, or The Way of Trust and Love by Jacques Philippe.
So Resisting Happiness is Matthew Kelly.
Matthew Kelly, yeah.
Okay, and then
I got to look up really quick. I can look up for you The Gospel of Happiness.
And the Jacques Philippe titles, I'm sure you...
The two books there are Trustful Surrender and Interior Freedom.
Renato, do those Will you be able to get those books? Do you think those books will help you with your kids?
Oh, yes, definitely. Especially, I think, Jack Stewart. I think I've read myself a couple of his books, and he's very, very good. Thank you very much. It was very helpful.
Thank you, Renato. Father Bjorn Lundberg is our guest. Trusting surrender to God is our topic. 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak.
More to Life is about living the Catholic difference in our marriages, our families, the way we approach life in general.
It's about celebrating life and our Catholic faith and discovering all the ways God wants to bless us and help us be a blessing to others.
More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. Weekdays, 10 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hello, my friends. This is Catholic Answers President Christopher Check, and I'm here to tell you about a unique resource just out from Catholic Answers Press. One of the ways Jesus answered his critics was to use their own words against them, showing how even the enemies of the faith admitted crucial facts that undermined their own positions. And it's been that way through the ages. It's proved impossible for those out to destroy the faith to mount their attacks without tripping themselves up and inadvertently testifying to the truth of what they're trying to destroy. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, renowned author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes from biblical times to the present day and draws from their antagonistic words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. Rich in research and written with clarity and force, Hostile Witnesses is a unique contribution to Catholic apologetics and one that speaks with special urgency to a modern world in which the faith is under attack like never before. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at catholic.com, or asking for this book at a Catholic bookstore in your area.
Have trouble surrendering to God? Maybe you don't want to surrender to God. Maybe you'd like to be convinced why, in fact, you should. Maybe you have someone in your life you'd like to help with easing their worry, easing their maybe their sense of anxiety about God. 888-318-7884 is our number. That is our topic, trustful surrender to God today. Father Bjorn Lundberg, Lundberg is our dead. You know why I have said Lomborg? Do you know?
Bjorn? I know, right? The environmentalist.
Yeah, the environmentalist. Yeah, right.
And then Brian Patrick likes to call me Bjorn Borg from time to time, so it gets creative.
And do you,
I should be in therapy for this name.
You probably don't want to give out your email address, but you have a hilarious email address.
Yeah.
No? Okay, I won't give it out.
With a name like Bjorn, you can come up with some creative email.
Yeah, right. So I'm sorry that I've called you Bjorn Lomborg because he's the environmentalist guy that everybody reads. And
I just tell everyone this. He's my nom de plume that I'm secretly writing under his name.
Yeah. Bjorn Lundberg is our guest. However, that's you, by the way, Father. You're Father Bjorn Lundberg. And Father Lundberg is a priest of the Diocese of Arlington in Virginia. He's the chaplain at St. John Paul the Great High School. And also appears Thursday mornings on Morning Glory on EWTN Radio. Our topic, again, trustful surrender to God. If you have questions, comments, struggles in that area, 888-318-7884 is the number. And Father, I think it's time to go back to phones.
Let's go.
Dan in Nebraska, listening on 102.7 FM. Your question, please, for Father Bjorn Lundberg.
Yeah, hi, Father. I do have a question. My wife and I just last night were talking about this idea of trusting in God.
Right.
We have got our fifth kid was born. We were blessed with five children so far in our marriage, and we had struggles with our fourth, trying to decide what we were going to do. Do we stay committed to natural family planning? Do we do something a little more permanent? And we were blessed with a fifth just in March, and now here again, that same topic is coming up in the forefront. We've done a lot of reading. Mm-hmm. We have grown in our faith. We've prayed. I'm just losing direction because I have many friends that have had, you know, things permanent, vasectomies, things like that, or there's others that use a form of contraception. And we are struggling to just trust in God. And that's what I'm calling about.
Okay, good. Great question. A quick resource, since I give everybody like 15 resources. Jennifer Fulweiler's book called Something Other Than God, and she's got audio you can listen to, but she's got a witness talk that I think Lighthouse Catholic Media has available. It's about 40 minutes. She talks about, just in introduction, that part of her big conversion journey included this question about contraception. And then she had a life-threatening, or has a life-threatening condition that makes pregnancy very difficult for her. So in terms of intellectually understanding it, and I think you already do, she has a good reinforcement about, you know, if the church is wrong on this, then the church is pretty much wrong on everything. But then there's the question of applying it in our life. So, you know, in the 1930s, when, you know, the Lambeth Conference allowed Christians of another denomination to start using, married couples to start using birth control, this opened wide the gates. Then the church is often perceived as advocating Vatican roulette. You know, you're going to get pregnant anyways, just take it along, you know, whatever, with our method. But, you know, there's more and more science that's reinforcing what we're teaching. I think the question is kind of figuring out, is it okay for you to pause things? And Paul VI in Humanae Vitae, Blessed Paul VI, does talk about these different factors that can be grave reasons or serious reasons to decide to limit the size of the family temporarily or in an ongoing way. Now, a big question, a lot of times very serious Catholics will say, well, then you're not really trusting God. The challenge here is that God allows us to use our reason and then to discern what's the best thing for us to do going forward using a moral method. So to choose to either use, you know, NFP or, you know, the Creighton method or some of these other things, what I find kind of the flip side of that that's interesting in our culture more and more with technology, with the iPhone, I'm sure at some point with the Apple Watch, with different things, it's going to be not only easy to track using an app, but I think in terms of being able to find out a woman's state of her fertility, the technology is going to get better and better. And you have very secular, if you almost say godless people who are even hedonistic, if you will, in their lifestyle, who don't want to use artificial methods. Like they just found out recently, more research about the pill shows that it affects a woman's brain and leads more to Crohn's disease. Not only is it a top carcinogenic for women. So part of this is discerning, okay, we're trying to use the moral means. Does that, how many kids do we need to have? You have to be able to discern that, you know, between the two of you talking, praying about it, maybe talking to your parish priest, doing some reading, and, you know, asking God and being honest. Because on one level, you can say, I don't think at this point we could have more kids, or I think we have to take a break for a while. You might find that different methods that are approved by the church that are licit morally, you know, might be more helpful. Some people find maybe something like the Creighton method is more usable among the different, but I'm not advocating a particular method right now. But the other thing is that what a couple says when they say, okay, we're going to try to avoid conceiving a child using a moral means, you're still allowing God to act. Now, someone says, yeah, great, that means 12 kids. And I don't want to poo-poo 12 kids. I know great families with 12 kids. And I would like to advocate that people have their own basketball team. But at the same time, too, really, we're saying if God wants to send you a child and he wants to intervene, I mean, there was just a case I saw on Facebook of a woman who was using the IUD and she got pregnant. And so, you know, if God wants to send you that kid that is going to be such a blessing in your life and who's going to live for all eternity, that is a scary step to take. It doesn't mean that you don't have to use, you can't use natural means. I think part of it is realizing it's okay to tell yourself, we want to take a pause. Or we're going to use licit means to take a pause. And that can be challenging depending on a woman's cycle, depending on a lot of factors. There can be a lot of things that go into account. But this is also an opportunity where God is asking us to pray and trust and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Here's what I think we should do. This is what we're inclined to do. The problem with taking a permanent method, I mean, it's morally objectionable. It's sinful. It's also basically closing off God's ability to act. And, you know, we don't want to go before God someday and find out at judgment that I wanted to send you this child, you know, or this child would have been such a blessing. And it's not meant primarily to be out of guilt. It's, again, this delicate trust walk of saying, okay, we're going to try to pursue limiting the family for now because we think we're at this point and we've evaluated morally and we're following our conscience. But at the same time, too, your informed conscience tells you ultimately we have to surrender and see what God wants for us.
Dan, that was a lot, but it's a very serious question. So I wonder if you have a response to that.
My response, I do have one, and it's I've known friends. So I knew had a cousin, he had a vasectomy, and 3 years later, and it was definitely his child. He had a tough time mentally getting over it, and then until the blood test came back, it was his. His vasectomy grew back together.
Okay.
They had they had another child, and his wife was sick. She, her kidneys couldn't handle it, but she got through it. They had another child. I've known of other people that have been on, you know, oral contraception, that have gotten pregnant for various reasons. I know of, I did just hear of a person that had an IUD, like you said, that was also got pregnant. So I don't, my idea of saying that God is shut off, I just don't believe that in my heart. Well, but I also think that if I went down those roads, it would permanently shut it off, because we actually had an appointment last Monday and it didn't work out for my wife to get the intrauterine device. So that's what brought this whole thing about.
Right.
Before Father responds, can I just ask you a quick question, Dan? Have you been trained in the NFP techniques, or did you just begin to practice them on your own?
No, no. We went through a full full training. We did the slow step. You kind of stepwise got into it. And we did a really good job with our first child, and she was born right on cue. It worked out great. Our second child was kind of a whoops. We weren't quite tracking and planning at that point in time yet. And so he was born a year and 7 days later. But then from there on out, it was all very planned, just seeing how close they were and how well they played together. And it worked very well. We've had in there, there's been the occasional whoops, and that's the, that's where we're at.
Father, I'll let you, respond.
Well, a friend of mine, they found themselves in a similar situation where suddenly they were pregnant again. And I think financially and otherwise, they were kind of freaking out. And one of the two said, I feel like I'm drowning and God is handing me a baby, you know? And so I don't mean to make light of this, but when the child was born, you know, they loved that kid. And Zig Ziglar, who's not a Catholic, he was a big, you know, big motivational speaker, and he was one of like the last of 11. And, you know, he asked his mom once, why'd you have so many kids? And she said, well, where do you think we should have stopped? So I think the problem is obviously on one level, you know, if I make a deliberate choice of my will to do something that I know is gravely wrong with my free consent, you know, then I'm committing sin. And so, you know, then there's the danger even of presumption, say, well, I'll go to confession later. And I realize these are very complicated, heavy questions that weigh on the conscience of a married couple. But I think because of the way the technology is growing more and more, or our ability to discern when someone would be able to get pregnant, I think it's over time getting easier for somebody to say, look, we can do this in a natural way that at least objectively doesn't violate our human nature. It doesn't bring in and introduce a barrier or violate God's plan. For which, you know, I mean, as a priest, you know, I fear when I go before God for judgment, you know, when he's going to say, well, I wanted to do this through your ministry, but you wouldn't cooperate, or you would put blocks up. And this is a similar thing. You know, you don't know what gift of a child God wants to give you. It may be that right now, because of this closeness and the number of kids, that it's just overwhelming, you know, and there is a real reason to say we want to pause. And we think that there is a legitimate argument to pause. And that's okay. And to discern how to move forward on that. But then to close that off, even, you know, it's a good example you brought up about people who've had breakthrough pregnancies, either with an art barrier device or medicine or surgery. You know, at the same time, too, you know, I wouldn't want to argue, okay, God, we're going to deliberately put this block in the way. If you want another kid, you work through that. You know, that's a very problematic point to be at. So.
Thank you for spending so much time with Dan on that. Dan, we got to move on because we have to take a break. But if financial problems is one, children is another. That's very common. Yeah. How do we come to a place where we really do trust that God has us in his hand, as you said earlier, really will take care of us? More on that when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Join us on air today on Catholic Answers Live.
Evangelization is an urgent priority, and the reason why is clear. The salvation of souls depends on it. The most influential evangelist of all time was Jesus Christ himself, the original proclaimer of the gospel. Because of his ministry, billions of people down through history have embraced the good news, and it all started with Jesus' own proclamation of the faith. That's why Catholic Answers has just published a new book by Diocesan Director of Evangelization Eric Sammons. He realized that if we're serious about spreading the gospel, the first place we should look is to the original master evangelist, Jesus himself. In The Old Evangelization, Sammons goes back to the source, taking a look at what Jesus did and didn't do when he preached the good news. In case after case, Sammons discovers truths that, even 2,000 years later, can help us make new disciples. He makes these truths concrete and accessible, showing how the saints practiced them and offering practical tips for putting them to use. To make your donation and get a free copy of Eric Sammons' new book on how to evangelize like Jesus, visit Catholic.com and click the How to Evangelize Like Jesus banner. Or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the How to Evangelize Like Jesus banner at Catholic.com or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
2 hours of letting go of worry and anxiety and trusting God today on Catholic Answers Live. This hour, Father Bjorn Lundberg is our guest, and next hour, Gary Zimak will be in here to talk basically about the same topic. So if you're on the line, stay on the line. Don't give up. Don't despair. And if you haven't dialed yet, please dial 888-318-7884. Father, we're in your last segment, heading up to the top of the hour, so I'm going to try to move through calls with some alacrity. We go now to Nicholas in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, listening on 98.9 Immaculate Heart Radio. Nicholas, your question for Father Lundberg.
Hello, Father. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So right now I'm currently discerning the priesthood, and we'll be applying to seminary here soon.
Sweet.
But even this early in the process, I feel that if I was called to be a priest, that I would be incapable, and I feel unworthy of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So would you have any advice on how to build trust in God that he'll make up for what I lack if I am called to be a priest?
Right. I think, well, you're a pretty smart person, smart guy, because you are aware much sooner than maybe other people realize. We're totally incapable of being good priests on our own, in the sense that we're not worthy of the calling, and the greater the work, the more unlikely the instrument. So if you don't feel up to the task, don't let that stop you. That will be with you probably for the rest of your life, whether you got married and raised kids or start a business or whatever. There's always this insecurity, but when you realize the greatness of the priesthood and what God does, I mean, Francis of Assisi didn't become a priest precisely because he didn't feel worthy. But if God is calling you, that's the question. You want to obey his call, and if he, you know, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. He will bring you where you need to be, and it's sometimes just like a treasure hunt. He gets you the next clue. You do through the application process, you get to the seminary, you take your classes, you do formation, and God will show you the next thing to do, and he'll help you realize whether or not that's the final invitation he's asking you to make or accept.
Thank you very much, Nicholas, for that call. As I said, I'm going to keep moving through the calls. We go to Michael in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on 1460 AM. Michael, your question for Father Lundberg.
Hi, Father. Thank you.
Sure.
I'm trying to figure out and discern what God wants for me in my life right now. I've been married for 34 years, and my wife and I have been celibate for the last 6 years, and I don't like that environment.
Mm-hmm.
I've been going to daily mass for 2 years, praying on this and trying to figure out what to do, and I'm just not happy. I don't know what to do.
Sure. That's a powerful question. I'll try to tackle a couple things here. without knowing more, for sure on one level there can be periods at times in a couple's life where for a variety of reasons they may not be intimate, and that can be because of a problematic situation. So on that level, as a person who made a commitment, a promise to celibacy, you know, we can only live that state with the grace of God. So, you know, you keep praying, you keep in this difficult time, you come closer to our Lord, especially in the Eucharist, and you be honest with him, vent with him, talk about your frustration. Again, turn to Our Lady, ask her to help you in the situation. And this might sound strange, but I would suggest you consider praying to two people, St. Joseph, because of the temporary situation you're in, and then St. John Paul II, we call him St. John Paul the Great at our high school, because of his great interest in human love and married love, and ask him for healing, because we're body and soul, and there can be natural and supernatural solutions to problems in marriage. It may involve, you know, some kind of counseling, or maybe, you know, seeking some natural remedies of conversation or insight from somebody who can help maybe with the breakthrough and what some of the difficulties are, and the problems may be deeper that go back some time that need some work. But then there's the supernatural solution of praying and asking God for a healing. You know, I don't know if you know anybody in your area who has a legitimate healing ministry. Some priests or religious lay people, even under the guidance of the church, have healing ministries. You can ask for prayers. You can contact local convents or anywhere around the country, ask them to pray for healing in the marriage. But a spiritual healing can happen as well over time, because the decision to choose to be celibate among a couple can happen for a lot of reasons. But in cases like this, yeah, it's a total hardship. And I don't know, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know, you know, right now what God's will is for the rest of your marriage, but it's not wrong to ask him to make a change and bring a breakthrough as well.
Okay, Michael.
Yeah. Okay. Because, you know, I guess he's asking me to carry my cross, and this is the cross that he's given me, but I just don't know.
Right. I mean, on one level, it could be a temporary cross, obviously, that's going on for a variety of factors that we can't cover, unfortunately, on the radio. But at the same time, too, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a permanent situation. I can't know that. And what the devil will do is the devil will rub salt in our wounds and our fears, and he will try to... We want clarity. When you see like a pond or a lake and the water is very still and clear, you can see down to the bottom. But when there's a storm and everything's stirred up, we can't see with any clarity. And so when we're anxious, when we're in a difficult situation, when you're carrying a big, heavy cross like this, it can be hard to have clarity in our soul. So time spent in prayer, reading, getting spiritual advice from a priest or a spiritual guide, you know, who's solid and Catholic, who you trust, and then also seeking some natural solutions as well, can all contribute to having more clarity about what's the next step that you should take to try to see the situation improve.
Thank you, Michael. We go now to Mike in Newport Beach, California, listening on the mighty 930 AM. Mike, your question for Father Lundberg.
Yes, Father. Earlier you mentioned about people, in my opinion, who wrongly leave the church because they're being badly treated.
Right.
Now, what do you do when you feel that, I mean, I won't mention names or anything like that, but
sure,
there's a case
sure.
right now where the person, the sacristan, was badly treated, terribly. No notice. They were fired after years of excellent service.
Okay.
No warning given, no reason given, and no compensation. 4 days
okay.
pay, out you go. And the diocese doesn't seem to be too interested.
Okay.
And looking, it's not myself. It's someone else. You know.
Well, I have to say, as a priest, a lot of the opinions that I had about the way things are handled in the church or the way decisions are made have sort of like at least been nuanced, if not changed, by my experience in the priesthood, because I've learned, you know, whether it's counseling a couple or working in a parish or working in an apostolate, you find out that there's often, you know, two sides to a story. I don't mean to say that there's a justification in this case, I don't know, for bad treatment, but I have often seen that sometimes decisions are made and there's more that I don't know. You know, if a decision's made about how to handle a given situation, sometimes the only thing that I know is, you know, what I see, but I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So when there is an injustice in the church, when someone is treated poorly, they have a right to pursue justice. Canon law talks about that. There are structures within the church law, excuse me, about pursuing justice. I don't know if that can be resolved at the parish level or at the or higher up within the diocesan structure. But I also knew sometimes, too, a pastor or leader in a parish has to make a difficult decision that it's not like a win-win. They, for whatever reason, they may have a reason why they have to make a decision about something. and it's not going to be well received, and people may never know why they made the decision. I mean, if this person, broadly speaking, tries to be just and prudent, then I'd say, wow, well, maybe there is a reason we don't know, but it doesn't mean they can't pursue it. And sometimes God in his providence will allow painful things like this to happen, maybe to move someone into a new situation, a new parish, or new whatever. But again, I would turn to Our Lady, especially Our Lady of Sorrows, asking her to help this person to try to find clarity, but also to realize, you know, in God's providence, sometimes these things happen mysteriously, but there are reasons we don't know.
Thank you very much for that call. Mike, we go now to Anonymous in your neck of the woods, Father, in Virginia, listening on 1160 AM. Anonymous, you are on with Father Bjorn Lundberg.
Hello, Father.
Hi.
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. What's your question?
So first I wanted to start off by thanking you for your vocation story at the beginning. I'm currently discerning religious life as well, and I was stuck in the wanting to know for absolute, with an absolute positive assurance
right.
that this is
right.
where I'm supposed to be. I'm glad I'm not the only one that's not completely sure.
Join the club, right?
So, my question is not having troubles trusting God. What I'm having trouble with is discerning when God is speaking and when it's just myself that's speaking. And I was wondering if you had anything to say about that.
Do you have a spiritual director at all?
I know.
Okay. I would recommend that, you know, if you're discerning religious life or just the interior life, it's good to have a guide. I mean, there's a kind of kind of harsh way of saying the person who has themselves as a director is a fool. And I don't mean that in any way against you or as an insult. It's just saying that we, you know, whether you want to grow, if someone hires a financial planner or a personal trainer or want to learn how to cook or play the piano, they go to somebody who has experience. And St. Francis de Sales says, when we look for a spiritual director, we should look for someone, you know, and it's, when he was talking about a priest, at least, he was saying someone who's older, has been around the block and has experience too, very prudent and makes good judgment, doesn't make, you know, poor decisions just rashly. Thirdly, knows the faith very well, because those experience, prudence, and knowledge of the faith are what help steer a person. And a spiritual guide isn't meant to replace your free will, but to kind of accompany you and help you see, discern what is coming from you or not. Because in these early stages of discernment or at other points, we can have tons of good options. And it seems like all these things are available to us and we're not sure they're all attractive. So we're not no longer choosing between good and evil. We're choosing between good and better. And then trying to figure out what that is. It's helpful to have a spiritual guide or spiritual director who can say, when I pray, it seems like God is saying this. Because to a certain extent, what you're doing is if you get on a boat, you get your sea legs, you're getting your sea legs in the spiritual life and starting to discern, you know, what is the voice of God? What is coming from me? You know, what's coming from outside factors? Ultimately, when God leads us to something, it's going to lead you to greater peace and increase in joy and interior freedom, even though you can be in a very difficult situation that's painful. But when you're doing God's will, you will have a peace. Not saying we won't suffer, but we'll have a surrender and a serenity knowing that we're doing what God wants. So I would recommend trying to look for maybe pray for a spiritual director. And then you can be able, maybe once a month, get together with that person and talk to them about what's going on in your prayer life.
Does that work for you, Anonymous?
Yeah, that sounds like good advice. I'll have to look around then.
That would be good.
Is there a practical, any practical way? Like, is there a list of spiritual directors? Like, how does practically one do that? How could Anonymous do that, Father?
Right. Number one, I don't know if you're involved with a parish or if there is a priest or a religious person in the parish, like a consecrated person who's available you could talk to. You want to find out the priest in the area or who you could consider talking to. You might go to a priest and say, I'm looking for a spiritual director. Do you recommend anybody? And they might could give you some options.
Thank you very much, Anonymous, for that call. Thank you very much, Father Bjorn Lundberg, for being with
us
for this hour.
It was great to be with you. Thank you.
May we have your blessing before we go.
Sure. Through the intercession of Our Lady and St. Joseph, may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Next hour, Stop Worrying, Start Living. That's the new book from Gary Zimak. Gary will be in here to discuss that. So it's basically, you know, if you're having trouble trusting, if you're suffering anxiety or worry, Gary's a great person to talk to. Father Bjorn, you've been a great person to talk to.
I love to talk, and I love being with you. This has been great.
All right. We'll have you back, I hope. 888-318-7884 is the number you want to get on the line now for Gary Zimak. Stop Worrying, Start Living on Catholic Answers Live right after this.